You help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The president answers a question about gun control while on his trip to Asia. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has the details.
And Chicago is a disaster. It's a total disaster.
That's part of President Trump's response to a question at a news conference in Seoul, South Korea.
So, hi, it's Joe Peters sitting here with John Maddox from Somerset County, and we're going to talk a little today. Let me flip on the YouTube first. So several weeks ago, I had Mark Salek on, and I do a lot of work with Somerset County. I'm in their chamber as well, and I bumped into John. I said, I got to get you on my radio show because you got a lot of exciting things going on over there as well. So, John, why don't you say hello?
Yes, good afternoon. John Maddox, Somerset County Business Partnership, Economic Development and Workforce Development Board.
Well, great. I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to give one 60-second up front to let them know who I am, and we'll get started.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, John, once again, thank you for coming down on a rainy, traffic-y day. It's either 22 or 78 or 31. Somebody's always got traffic, and especially when you want to go somewhere. So your offices are in the building that's on West Grove, is it? What street is that?
Grove Street and Route 22
right in
Bridgewater.
I'm over there all the time. I just forget where I turn.
Yeah, we have a big Chamber of Commerce sign out front.
Great. So being involved in both chambers, it's interesting to be able to compare the two. I mean, Somerset's a larger county with larger funds, and they do more. But Hunterdon is very active as well, and I started in Hunterdon, and I sort of progressed over to Somerset. Now I've got an equal foot in both. So how long have you been there?
So I've been with Somerset County now over 25 years. One of the things that makes Somerset County unique, at least as far as our Chamber of well, there are many things that make Somerset County unique, but with respect to our Chamber of Commerce and economic and workforce and tourism activities,
right,
and I might add health and wellness and sustainability, we actually operate two companies. One is the Somerset County Business Partnership,
right,
and then we also operate the Somerset County Business Partnership Foundation, Inc., which is a 501c3. So we have both companies co-located under the banner of the Somerset County Business Partnership. And that's a true public-private partnership with the Somerset County Board of Chosen Freeholders as a primary investor, I would say, in the nonprofit.
So the foundation is how the company is run financially, and then the board is just under that?
Well, no, they're actually run as separate.
Individually?
Separate okay. companies. We project one image to the outside,
right.
which is the Somerset County Business Partnership okay. banner. But the Somerset County Business Partnership is a true public-private partnership
okay.
where we have investment from the Somerset County Board of Chosen Freeholders.
Right.
We have investment from Somerset from State of New Jersey, Division of Travel and Tourism, as well as corporate partners. And then we have members,
okay.
such as yourself, who
right.
Form the bulk. We're over 750 members
That's amazing.
Of the Chamber of Commerce.
And in various towns within Somerset have chambers of commerce. Like I'm in a Warren Chamber, and I'm in the Basking Ridge as a business alliance. So I get involved in little micro, but macro is Somerset County in general, which is what your organization is. So you've been there 25 years. What did you do before that? It seems like so long ago. Maybe you don't remember.
It was so long ago. I came for a few years and stayed for a career.
Wow.
I was actually in the development and construction business
okay.
before I came to work for Somerset County. Worked for a major real estate developer and contractor in the
wow.
state. Really doing new business and new business development, which is where I got the knowledge of real estate investment, development, construction, building, leasing, et cetera.
Okay. And I know from working with Chris, there's a lot of new companies either coming in or building up businesses in
right.
Somerset. So that's sort of exciting to listen about.
It is. And I was thinking yesterday that Somerset County has had an economic development function since the mid-1960s.
Right.
So over 50 years now, the county as an entity is engaged in let's define economic development, business retention, business attraction, and business expansion. So for a long time, the county has recognized the value of that kind of activity.
Okay.
Obviously, since the mid-1960s, the nature of economic development has changed considerably.
Right.
Back in the 60s, there was no AT&T in Somerset County. There was no Johnson & Johnson
so
in Somerset County.
So the tide came in and the tide...
Well, it's, you know, those corporate investments,
right.
as we say private sector economic investment, were really the result of, in that day, the county's economic development efforts.
Right.
And let's fast forward now, really just to maybe the last 10 or 15 years. The nature of economic development as a business attraction, business retention, business expansion activity has really changed. Obviously, technology has changed the nature of the
right.
business. When I started, most not residential real estate brokers such as yourself, but not even retail, but really the commercial office
commercial.
And the industrial real estate brokers were not very well versed at the time in state incentive programs, the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, and
right.
the financial assistance available. And we didn't have the databases of available properties that we have now. I mean, we use on my economic development side now a tool which is similar to your residential multiple listing service.
Okay.
10, 15 years ago, that did not exist.
Right.
So a lot of activities 15 years ago were based on local knowledge of what office buildings, what industrial buildings
yep.
were available, what were vacant. Now, as you well know, you sit at a computer and you can run a search. So,
and I know the commercial guys use different software than I do, and I don't remember the names of it, but there's various databases of what's available.
Right.
So residential, we use something called Garden State MLS or Middlesex. It's Middlesex MLS. And commercial, there's two or three products they use.
Yeah, the primary product, not to get too technical, is CoStar, and not to
that's
give them
a
message, but that's the tool. And the important point of that is getting out of the details here. The important point of that is 15, 20 years ago, we as local economic development people would get calls from companies and real estate developers asking what buildings are available, where right. can I locate my business.
Right.
Now, so by the time someone gets to me, a business gets to me, they already have that knowledge. So what we're dealing with now is the more subjective information as opposed to the objective information on what the subjective information on why you want your business
right.
to be in Somerset, and same for Mark.
And it's very analogous to what we do, because people have found a house on Zillow or Trulia before they call me, and they just want to see the house. They need somebody to open the door. And I'm saying, I do more than open doors, but I'll be more than glad to open the door right. as long as we keep talking to each other. So I think you're doing the same thing, but at a commercial level. So how does Somerset go find companies to come in? I mean, it's a two-way street, I'm sure.
So I think your question really goes to our current activities. And so a couple points I would make here is, first thing that we did really coming out of the Great Recession, or really during the Great Recession, was we engaged in an economic development strategy program. And we brought the private sector together along with members of the public sector.
Right.
And ask the private sector, what is it that you need to be successful in Somerset County? And that became our comprehensive economic development strategy. So that really is our playbook that we've been working off of for the last 5 years.
Okay.
And they identified 9 priority areas. Of those 9, we ranked 3, we'll call it 4, 3.5.
Yep.
As top priorities that we've been focused on for the last 5 years. They include delivering business resources, regulatory reform, workforce development. So we're really focused on those priorities as expressed by the business community. And related, I often say this, Joe.
Right.
As an economic development and now also workforce development professional, I'm not here to solve all of the problems in any community or
right.
county. We're very narrowly focused on job creation and private sector economic investment.
Okay.
There are professionals in the land use planning arena, engineering
yep.
arena, environmental arena that are much more skilled and talented at their disciplines than I would ever be.
Right.
And we recognize the value that they bring to the discussion, but we represent the economic side of it, the job creation.
So you do job development as well. That's how I first met you. Right. You do the Raritan Valley job.
Greater Raritan Workforce Development.
And that means Hunterdon
and Somerset by
okay.
county board,
so,
as is our community college.
Yeah. Great. So yeah. that is underneath everything else you do, but it's a part of everything you do.
It's become a critical part.
Right.
I heard it just the other day from a major employer. They referred to the current economic conditions from a workforce perspective as a war
right.
for talent. So they are really feeling the constraints of the labor market.
Absolutely.
In recruiting and retaining employees.
Because I said through that, I'm on the tourism board, and they had this woman talking about what would it do if we merely went up to $12 an hour over the next couple of years. And it was a very interesting talk, and the net was, if you got just to 12 and you did it gradually, it could be absorbed. You get above 12, the biggest problem is going to be, besides the cost, the people. There are no people. And I said, okay, so now blend this into it. Everybody goes to the east to work. I mean, the people in Somerset County are coming from Hunterdon and Pennsylvania. The people in Hunterdon are coming from Pennsylvania and far around. The people in the executive positions are going all the way from Hunterdon and Somerset into New York. So it's not like there's just people in Somerset County and we're self-contained. We're very cross-pollinated.
We are, but I would say that I will try and stay out of the details here, but
right.
I look at some of this data fairly regularly and on a very micro basis. What's interesting about Somerset County is about 50% of our residents also work in the county.
That is interesting.
44, 45%. The remainder, those that commute in, The highest concentration of those individuals is from Middlesex County.
Isn't
so we're really only talking about a 10 or 15 mile radius of the major employment centers. So, and I again, I've looked at this in some amount of detail because I know that there's anecdotal observations that people make from time to time.
Right.
But I think the data is really what we need to focus on. And really, truly, 50%, close to 50% of our residents both live
and
work in the county.
Which I don't think we can say for Hunterdon because there's no work here above $20 an hour. So if you need more than that to live on, you're going to go to the east. And secondly, in your county, I think there's lots of work above $20 an hour, and it is why people are coming from Middlesex, I'm sure, because Middlesex, although it's a pretty, it's even more dense than Somerset County, does not have a lot of, I shouldn't say doesn't have a lot of industry, but I would think Somerset County's industry would be of more draw to them.
Well, what New Brunswick has, from my Somerset County perspective, what Middlesex County has is New Brunswick.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that and Rutgers, the state university, let's not forget that in addition to close to 70,000 students, Rutgers University is also a significant employer.
Right. Maryland works for them, so I'm intimately familiar with Rutgers.
Here's an interesting data point. We looked at some radii data in Somerset County. So if we take that Somerset County is a 330,000 or so population, we took a 15-mile radius of the intersection of Franklin Turnpike and Davidson Avenue, Easton Ave and Davidson Avenue in Franklin Township. Okay, 1.2 million people. 15-mile radius.
Even only 330,000 are in Somerset County. Right. And that covers all of Somerset County, I would think, or just about all of it.
Right. So,
wow.
So, you know, again, you're dealing with much greater concentrations of population. Greater concentrations of population mean greater numbers of potential workers or workforce.
Right.
And, that's why we have that part of the reason why we have that concentration of individuals commuting in from Middlesex County into Somerset.
Interesting. And I know from talking to Mark Salek, he's looking for low impact, like sciences and IT and jobs that aren't going to pollute the air and pollute the ground, the kind of thing. And I would imagine you're looking for the same thing. But you probably, I heard in last, I'm in the leadership Somerset, and it's amazing because I've learned a lot in the 4.5 sessions. I missed half of the last session. But I realize you only have one dairy farm left, and it used to be a farming community.
Yeah, I'll say that, and I speak for myself on this one, representing necessarily Somerset County. Just a personal observation. We, as a matter of public policy, we, the county, the state of New Jersey, I dare say, has invested tens of millions of dollars in preserving, and this is my economic development perspective, right?
Right.
We've invested tens of millions of dollars in preserving farms by preserving farmland.
Land, okay.
I submit that as a matter of public policy, we have essentially invested in those businesses by buying that land and preserving that land for agricultural uses. The public, the state of New Jersey, local government entities have bought into a business. You're an investor in the business.
Wow.
We have done, in my humble opinion, very little to support those businesses. Very little.
Okay.
And that's unheard of in the investment community.
Right.
If I come in as a venture capitalist and invest in your business, you're going to hear from me.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. It's like Shark Tank.
I mean, I really think that it's time that we have a conversation on what these businesses mean, what they need. We had a great conversation around agricultural development within our economic development strategies.
Right.
And there are some real key strategies, I think, that we can adopt. But it takes more than one single county to do this. Part of it is engaging younger people.
Yeah.
part of that's a
who
huge
may not
part
wanna...
of it. Another huge part of this is technology and the application of technology. I just think as a general, you know, thought on public policy that it's time if we agree that we have been successful
in preserving
farmland for farm use over the last 20, 30 years, then perhaps it's time we have a conversation on supporting those businesses, not just supporting the land, but supporting the business.
So it's interesting. I knew the statistic from Hunter and from 2 years ago, and we're about 25% by acreage farmland zoned. And of that 25%, 25% of that is farmland preserved, which means it can never be built on. That means the state has bought it, and some people can still own it, but they give, you know, if you're going to take it into
development rights.
Right. So most people don't realize that farmland preserved means you just can't put up a toll brothers, and I'm not picking on toll brothers, put up a development on that sometime into the future. It's in farmland forever, and I think 6 cents of every thousand of your taxes go towards that, and they buy up so much. The reason Hunterdon has done it is to keep its bucolic nature, and we do have a lot of working farms, much more than you do, I think, based from what I've seen of the two counties. But what is your percentage as far as farmland zoning?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't know that. We are in the process. The county is in the process of updating their preservation plan.
Right.
Which includes farmland, as you observed. There are different categories. There, you know, there's a preservation category, but then there's a farm preservation category. So we'll have new data on this probably before the end of the year.
Great.
The data we had before, and I would say even though it's outdated, was somewhat shocking. I was shocked to see the revenue numbers from farming. Again, I'm only approaching this from a very narrow perspective, which is an economic development perspective, which has to do with economic activity in the region, employment, and investment, and really the viability of businesses. You mentioned something interesting, though, the clean, quote-unquote, type of industries. You know, I would suggest that manufacturing nowadays is—it's not your grandfather's manufacturing.
I agree.
We have a number of companies in Somerset County engaged in 3D manufacturing and printing, just as one example.
Wow!
And that those technologies are here to stay, and they will be the future eventually. It would be the standard eventually.
But even within Hunterdon, and I'm not doing Hunterdon versus, it were sister counties, and I'm involved in both. Half my business is in both. But we have Exxon's entire Mobil 1 operation here in Hunterdon County. People don't realize it. Everything done for Mobil 1 development, testing, and other than manufacturing, is done here in Hunterdon County. We have 700 advanced degree people, and we're bringing 400 more in. But there is some air emissions from that facility, and we do have treadmills running around the clock where they're testing and whatever, so there is a little bit of environmental impact. But when I listened to the doctor who runs Exxon at a luncheon last year, he's saying, you know what you see in Bayway when you see those, I guess they call them crackers, they're not crackers, not the right word, but those great big refinery things that are emitting smoke. He says what we're working on here at Exxon is 40 years in advance to self-contain those so that it can be built anywhere and not pollute the environment. And he said the reason we're here versus where Exxon corporate is so we won't get stuck in the day-to-day marketing. We're looking at the future. So you're absolutely correct. I mean, that's being addressed. But to compare Hunterdon to Somerset, we still have about 9 dairy farms here. And I was amazed when I visited one on the tour where the farmers got up, put the cows out the pasture. I don't know if they milk them and then put them out or put them out and then milk them. Drove the kids to school, come back, and then they milked the cows. Then they did all their farming activity, and then they went and picked the kids up on school buses, and they came back and they milked the cows again. I was like, what a life.
Yeah.
And I visited several farms, and my hat's off to the farmer. It's a treadmill. If you stop farming, you stop eating.
Exactly.
It just goes 24/7. And I'm saying, wow. And both counties are beautiful. Where they touch, like County Line Road, you can't tell one county from the other. But 100 in the further west you go, the more bucolic it goes. But there's some beautiful sections of Somerset County. My offices are now over in Warren. I only go there once or twice a month, but it's pretty built up already. And what we do here on 3 or 5 acres, they do there on 1 acre. But their prices are much higher. They're getting it's the your Mike Kerwin said. It's the first nice place when you come out of Newark on Route 78 is Somerset County, and we're going to benefit from that. So I'm hearing good things that industry, light industry, and non-manufacturing industry is coming back. I had John Higgins from Clinton Township on. He says, we've just about filled up everything on 22 and 78. He says, now we're trying to get a little further out. So we're sitting with 40% commercial unoccupied, but it's starting to backfill. And that's good news, too. I'm sure you're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, we have. We've had our own challenges and over the years, particularly on commercial office space, office space. We've been very fortunate. I think that a combination of our identifying the right economic, the correct economic development strategies, and then working hard to implement them has resulted in some significant investments in the county. We've had Daiichi Sankyo move in to consolidate facilities from Parsippany and Edison into Basking Ridge. Nestle Health Sciences relocated to Bridgewater from Florham Park. So we've had a number of significant, those are just the big names. We obviously still maintain a fairly good inventory, some might say large inventory of vacant office space, running about 4 million square feet or so, 3.8 million square feet. But that's our strategies, and again, I give a lot of credit to not only the committee that helped me work on the economic development strategies, but the business community at large, and then our public sector partners who actually engaged in the conversation, because what we've learned is, going back to the talent issue, employers will follow talent.
Yes.
Employers will follow talent. So we have a great story to tell in Somerset. Highly educated population, highly educated workforce in general, a growing population, and that combined with our amenities, which is really the unique approach that we're able to take as a public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. We've been able to combine our economic development, our efforts to retain and attract businesses, with our tourism efforts, which are the amenities that employees want, with our workforce development efforts, which is the training and education component. So we've brought those three legs of the stool together for the employer.
Right.
And when we can deliver that information, it's a compelling story.
So one of the things that seems to plague a lot of towns is the uncertainty about COA. COA, from my perspective, and it may not be 100% everybody's, is a well-intended issue that has sort of gone helter-skelter over the years. The courts are now running it. The courts are politically assigned. And we don't have a stewardship of it. But what it means is you have to put 10 to 15% of any new project aside for affordable housing. And as a result, some developers don't want to develop that kind, even though the towns are kicking in some of those funds. It seems to me that affordable housing is one thing, but free market affordable housing is another, which is something I don't see being built in either county in any great leaps and bounds. And by that, I would define it $200,000-$400,000 condos and townhouses. I don't see it. What are your thoughts there?
So, first off, I prefer the term housing that is affordable.
Okay.
Right? Because affordable housing now is a legal term. What, again, my narrow perspective, employers employ people. If we wish to have employers here employing people, those people who are employed will need a place to live. That's a fairly simple equation, right?
And we've talked about which comes first.
So they need a place that they can afford.
Yep.
So they need housing that is affordable.
Right.
Right? That's the equation. A number of observations here, but I submit that somewhere in this equation, we are missing a conversation on what I call lifestyle choices. And I don't think we can legislate lifestyle choices.
Right.
I don't think we can public policy lifestyle choices.
It's something people are going to do.
People will – you can't generalize them.
Right.
How someone makes a lifestyle choice. Because here's the conversation I have with individuals younger than I am. When I point out to them the number of opportunities, employment opportunities in Somerset County, and I invariably hear something about how much it costs to live here, at which time I point out, well, you know, for $250,000, you can have a three-bedroom single-family house on a 50 by 100 lot in Somerville. Your taxes will be about $6,000 a year.
Right.
So your mortgage is about $1,200.
And that comes back to my rule of thumb, which is it takes $50,000 to afford $1,250 a month, rent or buy.
Well, the reaction to that is, I don't want to own. Well, so then we're not talking about housing that is affordable. We're talking about a lifestyle choice.
Right. So the ownership is one thing, and where you want to live is the other.
Exactly.
So if you want to live in Bridgewater, which is not 2 miles from Somerville in some places, it's not going to be what you just described. It's going to be more expensive.
Well, exactly. But then we get to the range of options.
Right.
Right? And that's really, at the end of the day, what land use planning is about,
right?
It should be about a range of options, not only accommodating business and industry for tax-ratable purposes, but also residential and a variety of residential and retail and services, right? All of those pieces that make a community, right? So, you know, I think that there's a lot of room for conversation on the housing side of things, but we can't lose sight of, at least from my perspective, the two critical factors here, most important of which is that this is an individual lifestyle choice at the end of the day.
Right, and if you study where back affordable housing was once called Mount Laurel. And Mount Laurel, if you read up on it, was a way to even things out economically and between the classes. Okay, let's just leave it at that. There's a lot of definitions to it. But today, it's sort of in a way, and at the same time, as you just said, it's not in a way, because there are choices you could make that you don't want to make. One thing, though, that I look at, which I don't understand, is as you go towards... And we don't have that much of it here, but I see it down that strip as you go into Hillsboro. There's all sorts of garden apartments, one-bedroom garden apartments going up in the 1750 range. And in order to afford a 1750 garden apartment, you have to make about $70,000. And I'm saying, okay, they do have better jobs in Somerset than Hunterdon, but they're not paying $70,000. With a four-year degree and a couple of years at the place, you can get there. So I really wonder if the builders aren't missing the mark at times. And it's town jurisdicted, I think, not county jurisdicted. Because although I'm learning about Somerset, I know that Hunterdon has 26 municipalities that they offer leadership and some shared service to, but they can't tell them what to do.
Right.
And I'm sure Somerset is very similar. So I saw your whole land use chart when the fellow who manages it was there. I forgot his name, but he was very informative. Young.
Walter Lane?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And very well thought out, yeah. Very well put together. And it's there, but if I give about 4 talks a month at various Leeds groups, and I say, and people may not be able to see me, but I point to the west, to the east, and I say the seniors are going that way, to New York. The millennials are going towards New York because they want cosmopolitan lifestyle, and that's where the better paying 4-year college jobs are. And the seniors are going to the west because it's cheaper to live in Pennsylvania, and the prices in the middle are getting pushed down from the top, and the top in Somerset's much higher than it is in Hunterdon. But there's pressure at the top, and we have less people wanting the big 4-bedroom center hall colonials. And I sit open houses in Hunterdon, I should say, in Watchung and Warren every Sunday that are in $1 million, $1.5 million range that are vacant, that have been sitting here for a while because people really can afford to wait for the right buyer to come along, which they can't in other areas of the country. It's very affluent. But they're having trouble selling them, or it's taken a year or two. So, yeah. But I look at where people want to live, and I just did a study for a first-time buyer coming out of Long Island City in Warren, and she bought nearly $800,000, first-time buyer. There were between 700 and 8.25 4 houses for her to choose from. They're flying off the shelf at that price because you get to about $1 million, $1.2 million, it slows down precipitously, quickly. And if you compared that to Hunterdon County, you'd get to about 750 and you'd see the same thing. So it's a much lower high watermark. And it's, I don't care where you live, the higher you go. We are all the way up in Quebec, they call it Quebec. If you go to Quebec City, which is 200 miles north of Montreal, and they took us up on the mountain, we took the open bus tour to see the city, and they said, these are where all the executives used to live. These houses are vacant because they want to live downtown in 1,800 square foot flats. I'm saying, just like New Jersey, people don't want to live up there anymore. But I see wonderful things happening, too, like downtown Somerville, 3 or 4 high-rises, all 3 market coming in. People are coming back to Somerville. That's wonderful. I wish we could make that happen here in Flemington, and maybe with the project coming along, it will happen. But
well, I'm not going to step in the middle of
Hunterdon
County discussions.
No,
but
no.
I am glad you mentioned the work of Walter Lane as director of Somerset County Planning Board, because it really points to our theme, our county brand, as it were, is making vibrant connections. So how exactly do we connect tourism, workforce, economic development, and the land use planning, which is really where the decision making takes place as to what will be where? Walter's done some great work. A long title for it called Priority Growth Investment Areas. And this is land use planning work undertaken only by Somerset County. Nowhere else in the state has undertaken this type of work. What the work represents is identifying areas that are not only suitable for growth in all categories, employment, residential, call it population, transportation, all of the amenities that are necessary for an area to be a place. Right? And the planning board, Somerset County Planning Board's identified a number of priority growth areas within the county, Somerville being one of them, but one also, there was actually one in every municipality, whether it was I don't want to get into the technical planning terms. But conceptually, what we're looking to do now is to not only analyze those areas, Walter's done that analysis, but also to work with the local officials on what the future should look like for those areas. Because we all know that history tells us, and even current conditions tell us, that what makes a place successful is having a concentration of employment, population, meaning residences, and services. Now, that used to be the traditional downtown.
Yep.
That's what made downtown successful. You had a main street surrounded by residences with employment opportunities. So how do we paint that picture in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And Walter's done some great work in that area, and I encourage you to look at the Somerset County Planning Board information
I'll
on that.
I'll actually go introduce myself to him one-on-one and get him to come on and talk about it, because that's interesting to me. I look at what I'm seeing there, and I'm impressed. And I'm on, as I said, the tourism board. We also had somebody talk to us about the impact of the tax law on small businesses. That was an amazing talk. I mean, everybody's saying, oh, we don't have the SALTR anymore. They've eliminated depreciation. You could take 100 depreciation. You used to have to buy a chair, you took it over 7 years. Bought a computer, you took it, it was the life of whatever it was. Now, take it the first year, they don't care. That's a tremendous incentive if you have the cash to do it as a small business. And I think we're going to see some interesting things come out of it. The other thing I see in Somerset County that I think is interesting is the economy is back. And I go all the way into New York City. We go into Newark for dinner. We love the Spanish restaurants in Newark. And like last Christmas, we went into New York, and then we came back to Newark to have dinner. And I had parked in front of the place and had my choice of tables. This year I came back and I had to wait a half hour with a reservation, and the place was mobbed. So maybe that's an anomaly, but I think I see it over and over and over. The economy is back. And there's a point about lifestyle I want to make, too. I feel good about that because Professor Hughes says we're in our 72nd or 73rd month of what we've never gone past 79 months or 82 months in an economic recovery. So we're, with no end in sight, really having a nice ride. We're riding a wave at this point in time, and we're starting to see the jobs come back. With the jobs will be housing, and with the housing will be general economic recovery. And we're seeing, look at downtown Somerville, a brewery, maybe two. They've developed that mall. Three or four high rise. I'll give you a great example. I had, just as you swing on the North Bridge Street, there's a dentist office. I rented the, and he's a friend of mine. I rented his upstairs, which I thought was unrentable because there's no parking, okay? Unless you park in his lot, and he's open 9 to 5, so he can't park in his lot during 9 to 5. Two young women, professional, one works in Somerset County, one works in Somerset County, rented that because they wanted to be in downtown Somerville. They wanted to walk to things. They saw the future of it. And I'm saying, that is neat. And I said to him, these are the people you want because they're both in their 30s and they're both doing okay financially because we do financials on tenants. And I said, Sam, you got two great tenants here. So Somerville's coming back. And I know Mike asked me one day, Mike Kerwin, what are the people in Flemington feel about Somerville? I said, pure envy. We're hoping we'll be somewhere in that direction in 5 years. We seem to have little infights about what we're doing over here, and I can understand both sides of the argument. But I listened to Chris Christie talk at a firehouse back when he was still governor, and he talked, it was a Clinton Township talk, and he was talking about taxes. And he says, you're not only in the highest tax state, you're one of the highest taxed places in the state, but you choose to live here and pay those taxes. And that's a lifestyle choice. And he said, so when we take some of those taxes and send them to Jersey City and to other places that are Abbott school districts, that's also your choice. But he felt, and I'm not sure the current administration does or doesn't because I haven't heard his side of the story, but Christie felt it was unfair and it was unmanageable. It was like permanent disability or permanent welfare, that you should be held accountable, we should review you, and you should be taken away if it's not being used, the Abbott School District stuff. I think Jack was on the same subject matter when he was running for governor. But it is lifestyle choices. That's a great way to look at it.
So the without stepping into the Abbott school funding debate, I had mentioned previously that part of the key here is making the connection between not only the business attraction, business retention work, but also the work that our partners do, whether it's land use planning through the County Planning Board, or whether it's Somerset County Tourism, or our Transportation Management Association, right, for that matter, Somerset County Park Commission, Raritan Valley Community College. All of those partners contribute something to this equation. And that equation really is, what is the value proposition of Somerset County? And yes, you're going to pay real estate taxes, but you're going to be in a county where overall, and we know there are numbers at either end, but overall, the high school graduation rate is 93%.
Wow.
How many places in the country are you going to go where you have a 93% high school graduation rate? Now, we often have this debate internally at the office on millennials.
Yep.
And just to put the school performance equation into context, I submit, and we'll take New Jersey out of the equation.
Right.
If you're a young couple in Manhattan, you have begin a family, I will almost guarantee you that you are not sending your child to public school.
I can almost guarantee you that.
So now you're faced with, pick a number, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year tuition. You come to Somerset County and decry the fact that you're paying $12,000 a year in property taxes.
Right. But you can send.
But your high school's got a 98% graduation rate.
Right.
And you're not paying extra for private tuition.
So
that at some point that
is a big
becomes a consideration in people's lifestyle choices.
I onboard into Hunterdon and Somerset County about six couples a year. And if I was to paint a picture of what the average couple I bring in consists of, two parents, one and a half child, one on the way, and they want quality of life. That's why they're coming here. They're not necessarily the millennials who left coming back, although maybe they will someday. They're people who, like Marilyn and I, said, we want to live in a country, and we chose Hunterdon Somerset County as the place to live. These people are saying, I'm in Middlesex today. I'm in Long Island City in this one case. I had a doctor from, he's going to be in one of the middles, in the middle, it's a New Brunswick hospital he's going to be in. He's an orthopedic surgeon looking to come into Warren, Watchung area. Those are great attractions coming in. And I'm seeing not only the economy coming back, but I'm seeing the housing industry, I think, slowly coming back too, even at the high end. You know, if we could have people buying houses in the high six figures and just into the seven figures, it's not so bad, because first thing, we don't have as many children as we have, and second thing, we don't make as much money we had. So it's a challenge to all. They don't need it, and they can't afford it. And they're paying, as you say. Like, I had the CFO from Pingree in one of my open houses about. They said the average tuition at Pingree is $40,000 a year. That's K through 12. That's $500,000 before your child's out of grade school.
And another, just another selling point about Somerset County. If you do choose to that path, it's available.
Yeah.
It's available. You know, you have fine, high-performing high schools.
Right.
But if you want to go on that path, it's also available.
That's neat. You get a lot to choose from. And I think we're positioned, Somerset County is positioned well to be where the new wave is coming to now. Will the wave crash and burn in 2 years? Who cares? Let's live it for the next 2 years. Because we were talking a year ago, before the Perron administration got in, of a recession by the end of this year, 2018. It's not even on the boards anymore. So love them, hate them, doesn't matter. Things are going well financially and economically. And it's happening here in our state, and I think the economy is coming back. What we really need to do is find more free market affordable housing opportunities. As you said, there are always some. I think we need more and more jobs. And as you said, jobs bring housing, and housing, it's a continuous circle, but it's jobs first.
Jobs first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mark and I debate that over breakfast every quarter. But
and let's not forget that when we talk about economic development strategies and implementing strategies that that really involve on several levels. They can partly involve public policy. You mentioned affordable housing and school funding plays into this. But they also involve some very strategic initiatives, such as educating. An example, we went up and brought all of our team, we call it the Somerset County Resource Team, the college, the Park Commission, Tourism, Workforce Board, myself. We went up and did a orientation for the employees of Nestle Health Sciences prior to their moving in Somerset County, to Somerset County. They were amazed, individually amazed, at the opportunities, resources, and amenities that existed here. I spoke to an HR person in the company who said, I'm from Bedminster. Oh, I said, you're right next to Lord Sterling Environmental Center and the Leonard J. Buck Gardens. What are those?
They didn't even know it.
What are those? Well, they're part of our county park system. So there are tremendous amenities and resources out there in the community. And much of this is having those one-on-one conversations about what it means to be in Somerset County, what those amenities are, and what makes us a special place.
Right. Wow. You know, it's one of the things that's in a couple of, I want to look on my Zillow site for my customer references. One of the things that people have said about me as a realtor is, Joe loves this place. He turned us on to this place. And I'm saying, that's a great compliment because I do love the place. And I consider myself 50-50 between 100 and Somerset. But I think there's a lot of people that love this place. And I think it's a place to be, and it's a place that's, I don't think it ever went away, but it diminished a little with the economy, and I think it's coming back, and I think it's good news. There's nothing but pluses. What else new? We got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Would you like to mention before we break?
So I've bounced around a lot, but I have talked, I hope, a fair amount about our employer resource team, making the connections among these various resources. I do want to note that, interestingly, the New Jersey Travel Industry Association, which is a tourism association, recognized our employer toolkit for a President's Award last week.
Isn't that neat?
So that is, you know, that kind of recognition is really confirmation that our strategy of communicating the resources, amenities, special places in Somerset, Duke Farms,
right,
tremendous asset. It not only is recognized by the business community, but recognized by our partners in the tourism industry.
Neat. So that is a nice compliment. There's a lot going well, and it's not an accident. So thank you for your efforts. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think we should repeat this once every 6 months. I think there's so much new going on.
We have fun. We get Mark and myself in.
That would be fun. We'll get arm wrestle.
See who could get in more trouble.
Mark's going through the Hack 100 thing now. So I think that's
And that's a great, you know, just to note that, that's a great initiative. And it's an example of playing off the strengths, recognizing where the economy's going. Technology, playing off the strengths. You don't have large employers, so let's engage who we have, this younger group of talented people, and bring them together. Great idea.
And the people are here.
Right.
They are. You know, for instance, I worked for SAP and Oracle, and I flew out of Newark Airport every Monday morning and covered the retail vertical for them all over the country. And I'm from Hunterdon County. One of my customers says MetLife in Hunterdon
has got one of the biggest data centers in the world. We just don't tell people it's there for obvious reasons. There's a lot here. There's a lot in Somerset. There's a lot going right. And I'm not saying anybody said it was going wrong, but I think we, over time, felt because of getting beat up by the economy, wow, it's not, the luster is a little gone. The luster's coming back in both counties. And I think it's just nice to be part of it. It's nice to see what's going on. And one funny antidote of when we talked about the $12 and being able to absorb it, one of the people on the economic, the tourism committee was the parks department. And she said, we can't absorb it. People aren't paying for the parks to start with. The taxpayers are going to absorb it. So start to think when we raise minimum wage. I mean, that's why you see tabletop menu systems. We've got to automate and cut labor. It was a funny comment because none of us were thinking that. We're saying, yeah, we could absorb a dollar an hour. But she said, we're not paying anything to start with. John, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Great. And I am going to put my commercial back on, and I'll be back to play a few other people's commercials. Thank you for tuning in. This is John Maddox, and my name is Joe Peters, and you'll get my contact information. And if you'd like to talk to John, I can send you his email address. Thank you.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump is meeting with the South Korean president at the White House. The president was asked to update the status of the Singapore summit being held with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
We are working on something, and, you know, there's a chance that it'll work out. There's a chance, it's a very substantial chance that it won't work out. I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I'm sure he doesn't want to waste a lot of time. So there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time, but it may not work out for June 12th. But there's a good chance that we'll have the meeting.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he supports the Justice Department's decision to have an inspector general review if the FBI had an informant in the presidential campaign of President Donald Trump.
Having the IG report is very important, and giving the IG the latitude to take the investigation where it needs to go. Having the U.S. attorney from Utah attached to the IG to give them the kind of tools they need to go after any abuses is important.
This is USA Radio News.
So here's a great question. How much would you save if you joined MediShare for your health care program? The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You might save more. Tammy left a major company and needed a new way ahead for her family. She'd heard about the savings with MediShare, but was wondering about the network of providers.
Once we started the program, I have not had to switch one doctor for myself or for my kids. So all the doctors that we were previously with were all in MediShare.
And she says the process has been fantastic.
I got off the phone and I was like, that's what it should be like. It was a pleasurable experience. An encouraging experience at that.
MediShare might be just the thing you're looking for your family, your budget. Use the savings for other things. Why not get your questions answered? Find out how much you can save. You can call right now. 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
President Trump and his team are asking that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation be wrapped up by September 1st, reason being because of the midterm elections and any possible influence his outcome may have. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says this is a right play by Team Trump.
He's got now a window to do certain things by September 1. Then September 1 to Election Day has got to be a dark period. The only person who didn't respect that was Jim Comey, by the way. And then after the election, if he's not finished, he could pick up from there. So I think September 1 is an interim deadline, unless he feels like he can get everything done by then. My sense of it, George, is that he won't get everything done by then, but he will go dark during that period because Bob Mueller follows the Justice Department rules. He's been good on this, and he should be seen as an independent force here. I think he has been, and let's let him do his job.
Finally, Senator Elizabeth Warren has said she's going to do her part to stop gun violence. She will no longer be accepting donations from the NRA. One small problem, she has never received one donation from the NRA. This is USA Radio News.
I swear.